From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Members of the Southwest Florida-based bluegrass band Captain Joe and the Bottom Feeders join us in studio today for a live performance of their session-style American Roots favorites. The group is led by Florida native and fishing guide Captain Joe McNichols. They've been performing for audiences at festivals, special events, and other venues throughout the region since 2010. But first, a handful of Southwest Florida women recently traveled through rural Guatemala distributing much-needed reusable menstrual kits they spent months creating. They include hand-sewn cotton bases that clip onto underwear, and tucked into them are flannel pads, which can be changed out and washed for reuse. Medical experts in the Central American country say some women in rural areas there are isolated during their periods, sitting on rags at home, which can lead to health issues. The Fort Myers women also assisted with sex education workshops in places where that kind of conversation is taboo. WGCU's Jessica Mazzaros journeyed with the women and has this report.
Sunbeams fall through the windows of a small public library in San Juan La Laguna, a rural Guatemalan village only accessible by boat along Lake Atitlan. Local women ages 8 to 41 surround teacher Rita Chajil, who's from a neighboring village. A few of the young women are breastfeeding their babies as Chajil talks to them about sex. She tells the women in Spanish they need to start using the correct terminology for their body parts instead of being embarrassed and using whatever nicknames they're used to. The workshop takes it a step further and has the women play a game of bingo, where they need to pick sexual words from a list and first write them in their empty bingo charts. Then, if they win and get five of their words in a row called out, they need to say the words aloud in order to get their prizes, which are school supplies.
Fertilization. Orgasm. Y B, testículo.
B, amamantar, bajo la letra I, autoestima, G, anticonceptivo y alcoholismo.
La N, semen, la G, planificación y la O, semen.
They're saying words like fertilization, orgasm, testicles, contraceptive. And it's progress from earlier, when some of the women told the instructor they were not comfortable even writing the words down, let alone saying them. The women go on to learn how to use condoms and other safe sex practices. 36-year-old Elizabeth Escobar Sanchez from San Juan La Laguna is participating in the workshop. She says they need these talks here.
Es muy bonito, muy importante para la comunidad de San Juan La Laguna, porque hay hogares en que los padres tienen miedo de explicarle a las hijas qué es la menstruación y qué es tener relaciones sexuales.
Sanchez says this is important for the local community because some parents are afraid to explain menstruation to their young daughters or what it means to have sexual relations. They're worried that communicating these things might drive them to have sex early. But Sanchez says this workshop taught her how to have open conversations with the young women in her family. A second meeting a few hours away in the city of Totonicapan starts with a prayer. About 40 medicine women from across the area wearing long, colorful skirts join hands with four volunteers from Fort Myers. They create a large circle surrounding lit candles on the floor, thanking the earth and their ancestors for life. Then they dive into the workshop, which pretty much mirrors the first one along the lake. But something happens at the end of this seminar that did not happen at the first one. When the Fort Myers women hand out menstrual kits, which include underwear and hand-sewn reusable pads, many of the medicine women ask for more. One woman says she knows a healer who could not make it, and she wants to bring her a kit. Other healers also ask for extras to share with women in their neighborhoods. 23-year-old participant Estella Gonzalez talks about how these reusable menstrual kits can impact her life and others across Guatemala.
Muy necesario porque además ayuda en la economía, en la salud.
She says it's necessary for the economy and health. Economical so that women don't spend money on sometimes expensive disposable pads, and healthy because medical experts say some women in rural Guatemala overuse disposable pads if they can't afford more of them. and other women are known to stay home, sitting on rags, essentially isolating themselves during their periods. Both practices can lead to vaginal infections.
Aquí, como ese trabajo es de las comadronas, llevar esta información en las comunidades, en las aldeas, para poder compartir con las señoritas, jóvenes madres de familia, ¿verdad?
Gonzalez says all the healers here will pass on this information within their communities and share what they learned with young women and mothers. Janelle Grant of North Fort Myers arranged these workshops through donations to her organization called the Grace Project. She used to conduct these workshops herself about 10 years ago, but eventually hired Mayan women from her audience to teach the sex ed seminars in Guatemala.
You know, having this little gringa component, which I am.
Gringa meaning white woman.
And working with women here who are Maya, we're a combination group that arrive, and we're bringing words that even teachers don't learn about in their teacher studies. They may learn about them, but they're not comfortable talking about them. They don't want to say them. And in one workshop last time, we were told not to talk about condoms because the people couldn't handle it, the women. And we totally know that they can. And they come up afterwards and thank us because no one else teaches them these things. So we get hugs and crying and thank you so much. You've broken through the taboos. Now we can talk about this.
And that's just how this workshop ended. One by one, the local medicine women tightly hug the women of Fort Myers.
Gracias, gracias, gracias.
During these seminars, the Mayan teachers began brainstorming a reusable menstrual kit business, possibly starting in a local shelter for abused women. The idea is to empower them with jobs and income, while also distributing a product that benefits women's health in their areas. Jessica Mazaros, WGCU News.
And now we turn to a conversation between reporter Jessica Mazaros and the three Fort Myers volunteers who traveled with Grace Project head Janelle Grant about their takeaways from the trip.
My name is Kim Watson, and I am a veterinarian.
I am Andrea Parrott, and I am a retired professor emeritus from Cornell University, where I taught women's health, human sexuality, medical ethics, reproductive health policy, and global violence against women.
Sherry Patterson, and I'm retired Chief of Family Programs for the Air Force and an early childhood specialist.
And so we're on the road back to Fort Myers, and we've just come back from a 9-day trip to Guatemala. You guys have been working for months with the Grace Project, specifically on the bracelets and the menstrual kits, and you finally got a chance to by hand, you know, give these women in the rural areas, the medicine women, some young women as well. You handed them these kits, and you also helped them with bingo and saying these sexual words out loud and help them figure all of that out. And what were your takeaways from either or both workshops?
Love to talk about the bracelets. The fertility bracelets are really simple to make with beads that show you this red one is the start for your menstrual period, and then it shows you when you can have sex and you're not fertile. And so if you want a baby, you can plan it that way. If you don't want a baby, you can plan it that way. And you mark it with a bobby pin as to where you are in your cycle. So it's very easy to understand. And we went through that with the ladies, and we gave them 3 each or more. Some of them got 6, that so that they could give them out to people that they, girls and young women that they work with. And I just think that could really help a young woman plan her, not only her pregnancies, but her life much better.
And you, how many bracelets do you estimate that you've made yourself?
Oh my gosh, hundreds. Well, you know, I've just started doing this, so I would say probably 250 maybe, 250 bracelets.
And to see, you know, you traveled with them and then you got to hand them out and that was the whole goal. What was it like to actually witness that transaction and, you know, the women who will be using them and passing them on as well?
Well, it was very fulfilling to me because you sit there and make those bracelets and make them and make them and make them, and then you actually see women get excited about getting them and sharing them with other women. For example, the midwives were, you know, looking forward to passing them on to their people that they work with on a everyday basis. So, and then the young girls, that workshop, they were going to use them themselves, I'm sure. So I loved it.
How about your takeaways on the workshops? Anything, you know, you sewed many, how many menstrual kits did you sew?
Well, I worked on hundreds of kits because there are many different components of the kits. So I don't know, I spent many, many, many hours, but I wasn't the only one. There were many women who contributed a great amount of money and a great amount of time and put a lot of love and attention and energy into creating the kits. But the reason that I think the bracelets were so wonderful is because they will perhaps allow women to have maybe 2 children instead of 4 or 6 or more children. And if you live in a community where you don't have sufficient resources and you have a family of 8 people, the entire family lives in poverty, there's malnutrition, there's just insufficient resources to go around for the entire family. People don't have enough money for shoes, people don't have enough money for clothes. And if you can control the number of children you have to 2, let's say, you have more money for the children, you can, there's more land to pass down to your children, there's less of a risk of dying of maternal mortality, and so everybody in the family is healthier and does better. But in terms of the menstrual kits, girls who and women who don't have any materials to use to manage their menstruation, and some of the people that we provided the kits to lived in rural parts of Guatemala where they didn't have access to tampons or Kotex, or they didn't have the money to be able to buy those kinds of products. And so when they had their menstrual cycles, they might use rags that would not be waterproof, and so they might ruin their clothes. And because of that, they may choose not to go to school or not to go to work. And staying out of school means girls are going to fall behind, and maybe then they'll just drop out of school if they have to be out of school for 5 days every month. And not going to work for 5 days a month really would cause problems in a family's finances. So by providing them these menstrual kits that have waterproof shields in them and reusable pads, it's good for the environment, it's good for the family's economy, it's good for the girls continuing their education. The more education they have, the less likely that they are to get married early and start having children early and have large families. And so just by providing those menstrual kits to them and the fertility bracelets, those 2 things may make significant changes in the lives not only of those girls and women, but their entire families.
And one thing that I noticed in the second workshop, you were almost overwhelmed with people, with the medicine women grabbing and wanting. Yes. What was that like for you when it came to that point after, you know, it was like a 4-hour workshop of education, and then it was like, here are the kits. What happened then?
We brought enough kits to give 2 to each of the medicine women. Many of those medicine women were actually beyond childbearing years, and so they would have 2 kits to give away. But they had so many people in their lives that needed kits, or they wanted to share these kits with, that they were desperate to get more bracelets and more kits so that they could help other women. And it felt very difficult to not be able to provide them with what they wanted. We only took 200 kits, and we could easily, I think, have given away 500 kits to the women that we had in the workshops. There was such a need. And so the challenge to us is, how can we get the resources ourselves to make 500 kits and then ship them over there? But it's not only the materials we need to make those kits, but we also need sewers. We need labor to put those kits together. And there's no shortage of need for those kits. There just is a shortage of resources on our end to be able to make enough kits to get them to the women.
How many women, just so I'm clear, background here, how many women in the Grace Project do you know who contributed? And because, you know, the 3 of you were the only ones who went, but there's a lot of people behind the scenes that I want to make sure that we get to talk about.
There were a lot of people behind the scenes. We had probably 10 sessions, maybe more, where we worked on Wednesday mornings for many hours, and sometimes there were 15 or 20 people at those sessions. And then many of us took materials home and worked on the construction of the kits or the bracelets at home with other people at home. We had sewing circles and met with groups of friends and continued to work on that. So I would guess that at least 50 of us were involved in the construction of those kits over the last several months.
And Kim, your reactions from or observations from both or either workshop?
I never took Spanish before. I tried to learn a little bit in maybe the month before going to Guatemala, but I found that I was able to follow along quite a bit and really enjoyed watching the women that Janelle has worked with for years teaching these other women such important information. And I really, well, I liked the bingo was probably my favorite part.
Can you describe the bingo?
So I don't even think these people knew how to play bingo to start with. And then they had to pick the words that they wanted under each letter. And all of these words had something to do with the topics that we were talking about, with sex and birth control and, you know, even self-examination and self-esteem. So they had to write these words, which was, especially in the first workshop where we had some younger girls, even that was hard for some of them.
And how so? What did you observe when they were playing the game? How were they acting?
There was a lot of giggling and especially covering their mouths, I thought was interesting. And it did seem like they had sort of congregated in one section of one table. And I think it just helped them to sort of joke around a little, make light of it. But in order to win a prize at bingo, you had to read each of the words that formed your line of five. Again, a difficult task for some of them. But they wanted some of the prizes that we had brought for them.
You brought those prizes, right? You bought a bunch of school supplies specifically for the bingo games?
Yes, I've been gathering school supplies for a few months, and, you know, to see that much excitement over a ruler is really special, to know how much it is that they would like to have a notebook or a ruler or a pencil.
What did you observe the culture being like? So from the way that they dressed to presented themselves to being receptive to this kind of information?
Well, I would like to say something about their clothing, because I really enjoyed that. The women's clothing, because they would have these beautiful blouses and skirts, and they were of different patterns, but the colors all tied together, like all pinks and reds or all blues and purples. And then they had this very tight belt that held this skirt that was wrapped around them, and that belt was, I had one put on and about took the breath out of me, held that skirt on, and it was gorgeous, and their hair, just beautiful, long, dark hair. And we all talked about the fact that when they were at class, they all put their hair up, and we very rarely saw the women with this gorgeous hair down. I felt also that the women showed a lot of pride in themselves and in their children. I observed a number of the women with children, very loving, very protective of their children, and I appreciated that.
Some of the women brought their children with them to the workshops because it was important for them to come to the workshop, but they didn't have anybody to take care of their children, and so we did have an opportunity to observe a number of women and children together, and we did see very creative children, very interested children, but mothers who were very committed to and doting on their children while trying to pay attention to the workshop. At one of our workshops, we started the workshop with a Maya ceremony, and we ended the workshop with a Maya ceremony. Many of the women in the workshop for midwives were healers and Maya healers, and it was a very spiritual experience to be working with them. So that was so interesting to see religion and their culture as part of the way they were able to receive this information. We did not do the teaching. The teaching was done by other Maya women who are part of the Grace Project, who many years ago attended these workshops, thought they were so important that they wanted to be more involved, and then went through training to do the workshops. One of these women is training to be a lawyer, which is more education than almost any woman in Guatemala has. Another woman is doing her master's degree in investigation, and she's hoping to do a PhD in criminal investigation. So the women who were working with the workshop, some of them were very well and highly educated in the Western sense, but several of the other women were very well respected and highly accomplished in the more traditional sense of being traditional healers and Maya priestesses. And so the presentation made by these women was sensitive, both knowledgeable, very knowledgeable, but also sensitive to the issues and the needs of the women in the community that they were presenting to.
As a educator on women's health and sex education, and seeing these students and how they received that kind of education, what are some of your takeaways about their reactions?
The women that were in these workshops were hungry for information on reproduction, on family planning, on anatomy, on sexuality. Those are topics that, although some of them had been midwives for many years, there were some women in this workshop who had gray hair, and they had been midwives for many years, and they hadn't had formal classroom training in many of these topics. They knew how to deliver babies, but they didn't know some of the other information. And so it was refreshing to see how receptive they were to the content that we were bringing. But it was clear that some of it was a little a little uncomfortable, a little beyond the kinds of things that they normally talk about when they were giggling and when they would laugh and when they would cover their mouths because they were embarrassed. But they wanted to be there and they wanted to hear it and they were curious about it. It's just that they hadn't had a venue in which this information was made available to them prior to this.
Along that line, what really took me back was we estimate that about half of the women, the healers, could not read or write, but yet they really wanted to learn, and they came to this workshop to learn to better themselves and better the services that they could give to the women in their community. I think that's very impressive.
I want to ask you each individually, what motivated you, first of all, to participate in this project, but then also go and see it for yourselves?
Well, I've known Janelle for several years, and I've known about the Grace Project and the work they do, and I've also known people who have traveled with Janelle and just said it was an incredible experience. So I always, in the back of my mind, wanted to go on one of those trips, and when I had the opportunity to go, I took advantage, and I think it was a really worthwhile thing to do. For me, education is the key to a better life, and so if we can help these girls and women to go to school, I think everything follows from that. And I mean, we understand more now about the Mayan women in the indigenous culture. Those beautiful skirts, we were told they get one a year. So, you know, it's no wonder that they are worried about getting it stained.
Like Kim, I think that education for girls, education for everyone is important, but education for girls is so critical. And because of the kits that we made and were able to provide for them, we were able to provide them an opportunity to stay in school longer and advance to maybe do things that they wouldn't have been able to do if they hadn't been able to stay in school, like become lawyers. I have been involved in developing these menstrual management kits for many years at Cornell University when I was teaching there. And when I retired, I was
disappointed that I wouldn't be able to contribute to the possibility of helping girls in this way. And then I moved to Fort Myers and found Janelle and the Grace Project, and they were making these same menstrual management kits. So I jumped at the opportunity to get involved here and have been very happy to be working with Janelle. But this allowed me to take it one step further and not only make these kits and send them off to people around the world who don't have access to resources for menstrual management, but it also allowed me to give them to people who needed them and help them understand how to use the kits. So it was really an important next step for me in being able to provide for the empowerment of girls and women worldwide.
Well, I feel the same way. You can make the kits and you can make the bracelets, but it's just so important to go over and see the women and that are going to use them and what their reactions are to them and make sure that everything is as it should be. I mean, one of the things we discovered is that some of the snaps, when we were working with the kits with the women, that some of the snaps didn't work very well. And so we talked about the fact that snaps are going to have to change so it's easier for them to use. And it's just, and the bracelets all seem to work out really well. They seem to understand them pretty quickly, and you know, it wasn't a hard thing to pick up on. So just making sure that what we're doing is good, it's appreciated, it's very much appreciated, and that it was going to, it was worth all of the work that we put into it. That was important.
Those were the voices of Sherry Patterson, Andrea Parrott, and Kim Watson. They're volunteers from Fort Myers who helped create reusable menstrual pads for women in rural Guatemala. They were speaking with WGCU's Jessica Mazaros. We're taking a short break, but when we return, the local bluegrass band Captain Joe and the Bottom Feeders is with us live in studio today. We'll learn more about the group and hear selections from some of the band's favorite American roots music performed session style right here in the WGCU FM performance studio. That's just ahead. Stay with us. This is Gulf Coast Live on WGCU.